And Carol, do you need me to send the thing that we passed before you got here?
Oh, that would be, yes. Thank
okay.
you. They're more than A, B, and C.
Well, in the beginning, I mean, the various motions under new business we passed, so.
Those are the ones
well, that's
that she
that's
had, that's 8, 9, to. And 10.
Okay.
And we're still on the, so we have approved and adopted the report. Then there's, so.
Right.
Can I speak to something? It's Richard.
Yes, please.
Maybe I missed this. I don't know, somehow. But number 9, the June 6th, 2005 resolution.
Mm-hmm.
That's already been approved by the PNB. It was approved in Berkeley.
Yes.
We are a regular committee.
Yes, this is just a list of the motions that this committee
that we did.
Passed.
Right. I just think that once it's been acted on, there's no need in sending it to them.
Oh.
Redundant. It was sent to them earlier and acted on, so we could just leave it off. It'll just confuse people.
I agree with Richard on that. There's still a requirement that we tell them every single thing that they've ever done and we've ever done.
Right. I mean, all the things we passed that they haven't dealt with should be sent to them, but that's already been voted on, approved, and is done. So just, I think we should just take it off.
Okay, I have a question.
Please,
if they ever put that in their minutes, do we know that they remember that they did that? I don't remember seeing any minutes, but they're maybe just not on the website, and I wouldn't know if there were minutes that actually say that this happened.
Carry on the stack.
Go ahead. Are you through, Mary?
Yeah, I mean, in case that might get lost sight of, I'm not sure why we wouldn't just,
Mary, you don't have to comment on everything everybody says, and I'd just like to make a point that putting that in there isn't going to deal with that, because that doesn't say it was resolved, that just says we passed it, so
right.
It doesn't deal with the point you want.
That's not
the point.
Richard, you misunderstood the point.
The point is that you were interrupting me and took my floor away from me and didn't let me finish. So, please, Mary, you don't need to speak after everybody speaks.
Okay, Richard, please, go ahead.
The point is that putting that in there isn't going to deal with anything of whether they remembered it or not. It just says we did it. But it might make somebody think it hasn't been approved. That's the worst possibility. I mean, it's a moot point. It's over and done. You know, I mean, I think we should only give to them as a report all the new things since the last PND meeting. And that one was approved at the last PND meeting. This is not a history report. This is an action report to say, this is what we've done. Take a look at it and what do you want to approve and deal with. So you don't give back to people something that they've already, you know, they've already approved.
This is Carolyn. May I get on the stack?
Yes.
May I get on the stack?
I think Terry's next.
Yes, Terry's on the stack.
Yeah.
Terry.
I'm sorry.
I suggest we deal with it like we dealt with the other non-action items. Just report that the committee did something and that the PMB followed up.
Right.
You know, rather than give them anything to approve, just report what was done.
Okay. Carolyn?
I think Richard's point is well taken, and Terry's solution may be a way of noticing it without raising an issue that has already been acted on. I wish I knew the correct parliamentary treatment or something like this. I simply meant the report to be a record of everything we had done.
Right.
But Terry's solution would make that a report without raising it as an issue that the PNB might think it would have to work on. The other alternative is we could simply say the PNB has already acted on this and approved this motion, or for the status, which they actually changed it to a permanent committee rather than standing committee, which we might want to know. The PNB amended the motion and changed the title to a permanent committee. Permanent Elections Committee. So I don't know if we need to note that or not, but that is what the action was.
We could say the Elections Committee hereby thanks the National Board for voting at its last meeting to make us a real committee.
I was on the
give
back.
Us legs.
Sorry. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, that was the point. That's what I was trying to say. Richard did not get what I was. I didn't make it clear, so I guess Richard misunderstood what I was trying to say. But I didn't see why we couldn't just make the report that we did it, and that it wasn't created as a standing committee. It was a permanent committee, and that's that. So it's very clear that we're not asking them to do anything. We're just reporting that we did this and they did that.
Okay. Or is there any other discussion?
Yes, I just want to say one thing again. It's Richard. I don't understand you folks. I really don't. I mean, are we going to become a bureaucratic organization that just keeps reporting everything we do, even after it's already done? I mean, nobody does this in legislatures. Nobody does this in law. Nobody does it anywhere. So why do we want to do it? It's dead. We made a motion a long time ago. We made a thing. We reported it to them. They acted on it. It's over. This should be a report from everything we've done since that last PNB meeting, not the whole history of the committee. Not things they've already acted on. I just think we're killing paper and wasting time and being redundant bureaucrats. I'm sorry. So if you want to
I hear a motion to strike this.
It's ridiculous.
Okay.
I don't understand why people even want to play with
it.
Waste their time talking about it.
Mary, please. So the motion is to strike the June 6, 2005 report. So we want to vote. Is there other discussion? Okay.
Okay.
Mary would like to have a vote on.
Okay,
is there an objection?
Yes, I don't.
Okay.
I'm not agreeing to it. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah. Okay,
vote
so we need to vote.
Strike. Okay. Yes.
Number 9.
Yeah, the former number 9.
Didn't the Beatles write a song about that?
Mary Berg votes no. Richard, you vote yes.
Votes yes.
Number
okay.
9.
Okay,
LeVar. I'll pass.
Okay. Melinda?
Am I voting to basically...
If you vote yes, you're striking it, and if you vote no, you're doing the Terry Goodman suggestion.
I say no.
Okay. Wendy?
Yes.
Let's see. Ted, is he still here? Ted?
No. Huh? Yes and yes.
Okay. You're voting yes. Okay. Patty? Is Patty Heffley? Are you there? Huh? Hello?
Hello? I'm sorry. I was muted.
Oh, muted. Okay, Patty, are you voting?
I'm passing at the moment.
You're passing. All right. Let's see. Rob is gone. Carol? Wolf?
I'm going to vote to strike yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Okay.
Wasn't Carol Wolf? That was somebody.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
So sorry.
Wait, I was asking Carol Wolf. Who just
I'm
answered?
Sorry. This is Carolyn Burden.
Oh, Carolyn, I didn't get to you yet. Okay. Well, anyway, Carol Wolf, are you?
Wolf votes
yep.
Yes.
You vote yes. Okay. Now, Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Okay. And Terry?
Yes.
Okay. And then we had two passes, Laverne and Patty.
Patty says yes.
Okay.
Since I'm still in my temporary chair, I'll pass on things. Although
you mean you
I'm,
saying
I'm
you.
Trying to set an example for others.
Well,
who shall remain nameless.
You can vote. It's
but so could you just announce?
Well, there
that?
Are seven yeses in any case. So
okay, so it's been so we we're going to strike number 9. From the report.
The former number 9.
Right. So then the next one would be the motion that we passed will now become 5A will now become number 7.
What?
New business, the motions that we're going to now add to this report.
Oh.
Okay. On number 5A in the new business, that will be number 7. And 5B will...
Right.
Number 8.
Yeah.
C is number 9.
Terry?
And then since we voted to approve the report, so then that would be number 10. D.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Point of information,
Carolyn. Please.
Carolyn. I came on the call at New Business after Les spoke. Did you pass motions on before that under Old Business?
Mm-hmm.
You mean unfinished business?
Reported. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
Those
oh, yeah. I'm sorry. We did. We did pass the motion 4C.
You're right.
The revised language.
Yeah. So we can either just make that number.
Well, that'll be the next one.
Number 11?
No.
All right. Okay.
Advance in the elections?
No.
Was there any change in language, or if so, could someone send it to me? Otherwise, I'll just add it as it is.
Just
the same.
Okay. Thank you.
That's either so 11 that or you can renumber.
Before the new business. So no, that's just...
Okay, that's yeah, we just, have another... We have... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I've listed that as number 7, the new number... That's number 7 when we...
That will have to be number 7, right.
Yeah.
And finance in the election?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. 7, and then we'll go down... That becomes 8, which was the original 8, and then 9. Okay. Did we discuss handbook and guidelines? No, that was the next motion.
Did we discuss what, please?
The next motion is handbook and guidelines.
Terry asked to be recognized on the prior on the report.
Oh, please, Terry.
I noticed two more things.
Okay.
In the fourth paragraph that starts, "We are missing the requisite director." That whole paragraph needs a period at the end of "to do."
Oh,
and then right after Carolyn's, where is that? Oh, right, yeah, above Carolyn's signature block, mm-hmm. need to put in today's date.
Yeah,
in place
the
of the XX.
Okay, very good.
And we did add Carol Wolf there.
Yeah,
right.
We did. We added that.
Okay.
So are we ready to move? Are we, I'm sorry, are we through with number, with D? With 5D?
Yes. Hearing no objection.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. I love it. Okay, hearing no objections, let's move to E. Handbook and guidelines. Shall I read it?
Mm-hmm.
That the Elections Committee form a task force of 3 or more people to create an elections handbook for use by supervisors, managers, producers, staff, and listeners in the conduct of fair elections at each station. This same committee shall also recommend guidelines for the fair presentation in the elections booklet of arguments pro and con regarding bylaws amendment proposals likely to be presented for membership approval, and may recommend the inclusion of these guidelines in the elections handbook. Is there a discussion?
So moved.
Okay. Mary, you have that? Are there any
objections? I have that. Yeah, it was approved without objection.
Okay, thank you. And then
I'll,
we have...
I'll volunteer for that committee.
And
okay,
I'll
so
too.
Then that would be number 12 on the motions, Mary. You have that? I mean, on the election report.
Yeah.
That's number 12.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have F that was added, and I can read this. This is the I printed it out here on my desk. Here we are. This is from Ted, and okay, I can read the both items, and then we can decide whether we want to divide these or how we would like to move. Number one, these are from Ted. And
can I make a point of order?
Please.
I think you have to divide them. They're so substantially different. I mean, they have nothing to do with each other.
Okay.
True.
Wolf, I'm sorry, but I have to leave.
Who's this?
What?
Wolf, I have to leave the call. I'm sorry.
Is this
okay,
Carol
well,
Wolf?
Thank you for being on the call with us, and we certainly look forward to you joining us the next time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I will do it.
And do we have your email address? Or you'll send it to? You can send it to.
I'll email it to you. But I'm actually already. I did join before, and I actually use a group.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So you're getting the messages. That's
great.
Great.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. So we're gonna divide the first. We can call F, and it's. Ted wanted to discuss, we can determine how we're going to do this. Number one on this list is excluding people elected in the most recent LSB elections from from elections to fill vacancies on the PNB. The bylaws do not have a quote previous service requirement to fill a vacancy. So we'll open this up for discussion. Ted, would you like to start?
Sure. I'd like to be on the stack too, Richard.
Carrie.
Okay.
And Mary.
I would like to read the one paragraph on page 18 of 49. It is Article 5, Section 1,
B. Article 5, Section 1, let me...
B. It's there.
And can you speak up, please?
It's 3A.
It's B.
It's Article 5, Section B8. And it reads, filling vacancies on the board. If a director's seat previously held by a station representative director becomes vacant for any reason, that seat shall immediately be filled for the remainder of the term by a director elected by the delegates from that radio station, provided, however, that if the previous director was a staff director, the delegates shall election a staff director, and if the previous director was a listener sponsor, then a listener sponsor director shall be elected. If a director's seat previously held by an affiliate representative or at-large director becomes vacant for any reason, that seat shall be filled for the remainder of that term by a majority vote of the board from the most recent list of nominees it had received for affiliate representative or at-large directors as applicable, or if none, the nomination shall be declared open and the seat shall be filled the following March for a new one-year term. That's the end of it verbatim. May I speak briefly to the what my contention is?
Please. I'm sorry, can you just tell me what article that's in?
Yeah. Article 7.
Okay, thank you.
What?
I'm sorry,
article 7?
Article 5.
Article 5, Section 8.
Yes, I'm sorry. Article 5. Jeez, I'm so sorry.
Section
Article
8.
5.
Section, okay, thank you.
Section 8.
Filling vacancies on the board.
Okay. When we first created the Pacifica National Board, there was no requirement of service, obviously. Then for the second election, it was that you had to have at least 1 year of previous service, and the reason for that was because because we wanted people with some experience. But now the deal is that we could have a person who has even 364 days of service, and if we're going to require that there is a minimum of experience, we are denying ourselves the rights of half, apparently, of the 24 members. We're disenfranchising them, even if they have great experience. And when we have resignations of people who have been on for a previous year, then we're narrowing the pool down to a handful of candidates, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The bottom line is this bylaw clearly does not state that there is a requirement for previous service to run to serve to fill a vacancy. And in many other clauses, it says, pursuant to Article so-and-so, Section so-and-so. This one does not say that. All you have to do is read English, and it says that if you want to fill a seat, you do it in the manner that I just read. But that's not the practice that we are following in Houston.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to be on the stack.
Who's that?
Melinda. Melinda.
Melinda, okay.
I've sent you all an email.
Okay. Richard?
Ted, I don't know the politics of what's going on down there, and I'm just going to give you my legal opinion from years of construing statutes and legislation and things like this, and you're just dead wrong. If you go back to that same article, go to Section 3, Nominations, it says in it very clearly, and this is a preceding section, which means this section is defining what it takes to become a delegate, to become a director. And it says the nominee has served at least 1 year, so they're setting a standard there. It's 3A. We may not agree with it. We may not think it's appropriate.
Oh, you're right.
It's 3A, but that is the rule. And I can tell you that from reading that and reading the other part, if you went to court, 3A would dominate. And it'd be a waste of time. The point is, we can't change it as a committee. That would have to be a change in the bylaws.
And it should be noted that if a person, when you show the very definition of eligibility says...
Just a second. Terry, do you want to allow Melinda to speak?
Yeah, I had the number wrong in my head. Yes, 3A says that for an office of a director, you have to serve for a year to be nominated.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't say you can't serve as director, but your nomination would be out of order. So.
Okay, go ahead, Melinda.
Okay, well, that's why I just sent everybody was I actually cut and pasted off the Pacifica webpage. It says any delegate who is currently serving as a delegate and who, this is eligibility, and has served at least 1 year as a delegate is eligible for the election to the office of director. Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense that if you're ineligible to run, that you would suddenly be eligible to fill in. And the man who actually did this the first time, that actually had us run originally was Mike Martin. And he had been a member of Texas legislature in addition to being a practice Texas attorney.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else like to go into stat?
Well, we're still talking about... I had a call come in, and I just had to be off for a second.
We're talking about number one, Ted.
Number F, yeah.
Is there... Would you like to discuss this, Mary?
Well, I don't... quite understand. Maybe I didn't understand it in the first place. They would have to have served at least a year. It doesn't say. I don't see how we can do it. We can't alter the bylaws, so I'm not clear what kind of action we're taking here.
Okay,
amending the bylaws, and we can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ted, exactly what did you want to, what was that, what did you want out of this matter that you had proposed here?
I wanted the National Board to consider this issue before seating any additional delegates to the National Board, and I wanted us to recommend that they consider a particular clause in the bylaws before summarily doing so.
Okay, so, how should we handle it from the committee? Do we want to, put a motion to say that, the board, the PNB should consider this? But we've had arguments here within our committee to say that that this would violate the bylaws. So, what would you like to do?
Clearly, if you look at the bylaws,
says section that. That's what I'm not clear about. It says clearly. You say doesn't there a previous?
Mary. Okay. So as a committee, if you'd like to be recognized, please ask to be if you want to speak. As a committee, did you want to put a motion forward, Ted, and we can just vote or? How would you like to handle this? Just to ask for consideration, I'm not sure how to take that to the PNB.
I am moving. I move that the Pacifica National Board consider Article 5, what is it, Section
8.
Section 8 before... seating any new delegates.
Object. Point of order.
So there's a motion. There's an objection. So let's vote.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion?
Yes, I would like to discuss this. Richard.
Patty.
Richard. Patty.
First of all, I think this is the wrong committee, honestly, because that has to do with governance, not with election and interpretation of the bylaws, not an election rule per se. We're, you know, I really think that this is not an election issue. This is an interpretation issue. That's just my thought.
It's a good one.
Hey, Patty?
I don't know that you can consider just the Article 5 without considering the Article 3 part.
Absolutely.
That says, what, pardon?
The
first part that says you have to be a delegate for a year. I mean, it's obvious. Otherwise, we don't need to have that in the first place, and we can just every year employ new people on the national board as we see fit without them having to have been on there for a year. I mean, I think this is completely, it violates the bylaws. I would say this is a motion out of order.
Amen.
Can I be on the stack, Mayor Berg?
Yes.
Pardon?
Yes,
point of order.
Go ahead, Terry.
What Patty just said could be construed as a point of order that the item under consideration of out of is out of order and calls for a ruling from the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Since I hadn't spoken, I think it's out of order also, because again, it clearly, I would think that to go to the PNB, it clearly says you have to have been on the board for 12 months. So you know, then that the only exception was the first election, and I think that that's what the bylaws say, and I think that it is clearly out of order. So if Ted would like to address this, I would take it to the do we have a bylaws committee? I always get confused about that. So I would suggest that you take it to that committee if you're not a member, to get one of your LSB members or directors who is on the committee to take it there.
That the person, we only have one person who is currently serving on that committee, and that is the person who was just recently elected to fill the seat, the vacant seat on
point
the
of
national board.
The member is out of order unless he wishes to appeal the ruling of the chair,
right,
or state a new point of order.
I wish to appeal the ruling of the chair.
Okay, let's vote.
Okay.
Wait.
The
chair has to...
That goes to a vote immediately, right?
Yes.
Discussion. Okay. So, Mary Bird.
Wait.
Who's talking?
Who said,
sorry.
Wait.
Did someone ask to speak?
An appeal of the ruling of the chair is debatable.
Okay. Let's hold for... is there someone who would like to discuss this? Okay, let's vote then.
Okay.
What?
And now, a vote for yes upholds the ruling of the chair. That motion is out of order. I vote yes. Mary Berg. Okay. Richard?
Yes.
LaVarne?
You know, I'll pass.
Well, you made the ruling. What am I?
Okay.
You're obviously going to uphold your ruling. I'm sorry. Melinda?
If I vote yes, does that mean that this is out of order?
You upholding the ruling of the chair that Ted's motion is out of order.
Okay, yes, then.
Okay.
If that's the
Wendy?
Case, I vote this in order. Out of order.
Okay. Wendy? Okay.
I think Wendy left.
Okay, Ted, you presumably vote no, right? Ted, are you there?
Do you hear me?
I do hear you now, but I didn't hear you vote. I put you down as no. You're not.
Let him vote. I'm sorry, Mary. I don't mean to interject, but Ted, Mary's asking, what is your vote?
I said no four times.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear any of them. Okay, thank you. Patty?
I uphold the ruling of the chair.
Okay, you vote yes. Okay, Rob and Carol are gone. That's Terry?
Yes.
Okay, so that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, Carolyn.
Yeah.
Okay. That's 6 yes and 1 no. So the chair's ruling is upheld.
Right, and that matter is out of order. So let's go to the second one.
Okay, so now
all right, first I have a point of order to the chair, please.
Please.
I would ask the chair to admonish Mary to not prejudice a vote by saying to somebody, I assume you're going to vote no. You should make no comment at all, just call their name.
Okay.
Right, Mary.
I am admonished, okay? You have
thank you,
let's
Mary.
Let's move on.
And let's take it serious, though, okay? All right, thanks. Okay, so I'll go to number two, the second matter that Ted proposed. Individuals who are appointed to public offices, local, serving on LSBs. We have potential cases here in Houston, but there is no precedent on how to remove people when there is no director supervisor of elections. Okay, so how do we want to, so is there a discussion? And
I want to go on the record on that.
Carry
okay,
on.
Please, Melinda.
This is Richard. I'd like to speak
about it. Okay, just a second. Okay, we have Melinda, Richard.
Yep. Yeah, Ed Terry, but the maker of the motion should speak first.
Yes.
Point of information, please.
Please.
Clarification, rather. Could you read that again slowly? I don't have it in writing in front of me.
Okay, just a minute. Okay, it says, individuals who are appointed to public offices,
committee.
Local, serving on LSBs. We have potential cases here in Houston, but there is no precedent on how to remove people when there is no director supervisor of elections. So, Ted, you want to speak to this and clarify it more?
It's under, I would like to read exactly what the bylaws say under Article 4.
Okay, just a second. Could you just talk a little louder? And I have my phone up as high as it can go, and your voice is still low.
I'm shouting.
Okay, sorry. I don't mean to ruin your voice for tomorrow, but thank you.
Let me see. Does this work better?
That
yes.
Is that.
Mm-hmm. You're talking better, more directly into the microphone now.
No, I just took it off a speakerphone.
Okay, off the difference.
Okay, Article 4, Delegates, Section 2, Eligibility, Nomination of Candidates. A, eligibility.
What?
Any listener-sponsored member in good standing except radio station management personnel or foundation management personnel or staff members may be nominated for the position of listener-sponsored delegate for the foundation radio station with which she/he is affiliated by the signature of 15 listener-sponsored members in good standing who are also affiliated with that radio station, provided, however, this is the key point, that no person who holds any elected or appointed public office at any level of government, federal, state, or local, or is a candidate for such office shall be eligible for election to the position of delegate. A delegate shall be deemed to have resigned the position of delegate if she becomes a candidate for public office or accepts a political appointment during his or her term as a delegate. This restriction shall not apply to civil service employment by governmental agencies. Okay. Now that I've read that, the point of the matter is that when we had our very first election to the local station board, one of the candidates went to the local election judge. The local election
supervisor.
The local election supervisor reportedly went to Terry Barishas, the National Election Supervisor. To the best of my knowledge, there are no minutes or any record of Terry Barishas ever making a ruling on whether or not this particular candidate was eligible to run. We were told that this candidate was eligible to run, even though this candidate has made it abundantly clear that she was nominated by the mayor of the city of Houston and approved by a vote of the city council to be on a board of the city of Houston, a board that has a budget of $1.25 million. This person is an appointed public official and as such should not have been eligible to run. The fact that this person had the ability of putting this on their resume as a candidate may have influenced votes. The bottom line is that they were elected, but they are an appointed public official.
Okay, can I speak to it now?
May I get on the stack? Carolyn here.
This is Melinda.
Who's first on the stack?
Am I first? Am I first? Okay. If you look in your email boxes, you've just been sent a letter which is a copy. Now, I cut out the person's name, although I may as well go ahead and put her name in there, given the fact he said everything. I think it should be noted that this is an email from Dennis Fetters. He was the election supervisor. I think we can take it on good, after all, we allowed him to make judgment calls. Pacifica hired him to make judgment calls, as they did also Terry Barishas. Given the fact that it's kind of amazing that it's been 2 years that this person has served on the board, and this has never been called into question, although it's interesting that you noted that when she was running, and that was 2 years ago. It should also be noted the fact, I'll be honest with you, although she quite frequently mentions the Miller Outdoor Theater, that's what it is. We're talking an outdoor theater which has nothing to do with her actual carrying out of duties. I think it should also be noted that a person on our LSB will not be noted, took it upon themselves to actually do investigations that were not authorized by the LSB, which could have caused trouble. But the truth of the matter is, it was fully examined. At that time, the people in whom we entrusted, they said it was fine, and she was a certified candidate. Fact is, You've got the letter right there from Dennis Fetters.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Richard, you were next? Or was it Terry?
Lauren, I'd like to be on the stack also.
Okay, we have Mary after Carolyn. Okay, Richard?
Well, first of all, I guess I would say it's unfortunate that some of the people that have been hired as election supervisors, have not always been credible to my mind, particularly the last one we had in Berkeley. And, I don't know these people, so I don't know, but if they're wrong, it doesn't matter that they did it, it's gotta be righted. And, my reading of this, says, holds any elected or appointed public office at any level of government. So that means a small little board somewhere. Those last four were at any level of government, those five words, in my mind, if I interpret that, it means anything where you're working for the government, elected or appointed, other than civil service, which they took out because those are just jobs. But this is a political position, and that is the essence of what we were trying to keep out of our board. People who are involved in political positions, a.k.a. Mary Frances Berry, and her ilk. And the whole idea was, and they made it a very broad sweeping statement here. So, if she's got elected to be part of some government at some level, I think she or he, whoever it is, they shouldn't be on there. And the fact that these other people ruled erroneously doesn't make it right. And I think that needs to be looked at by the national board and get a legal opinion or something, because if I was sitting as a judge looking at this, that came in front of me, I would say she's out because of the language at any level of government.
Okay.
Carolyn, may I get on the phone?
Let me just add one more thing.
I think Terry's next.
Let me just add one more thing. Reading that memo, they seem to justify it by the basis of the fact that it was an unpaid position. That's irrelevant, according to this language, as it says at any level of government. So their justification wouldn't hold water in my court.
Okay, thank you. Terry?
Yes, there's some guidance in Article 4, Section 9 on removal of delegates where it specifically says that upon the occurrence of a disqualifying act, for example, the appointment to an elected political office, a delegate is automatically removed. And that was just an example. appointment to an elected political office. Judging by the qualifications for running, I don't think it's just elected political offices. I think it's appointment to any political office. So I think that holding a political office is a disqualifying act that removes a delegate. But you could have different interpretations of what a political office is. And I think that a challenge to a delegate on this basis has to be addressed by a meeting of the delegates.
What if the person served 2 years on a three-year term? This person did not try in any form or fashion to try to be clandestine about this. The person was upfront all the way and was actually told prior to even running that they could run.
Okay. Thank you, Melinda.
This is Carolyn. May I get on the stack, please?
Go to Carolyn. Carolyn, you're next.
Richard would like
sorry,
to
get on the stack. I didn't want to interrupt Melinda. I just
okay.
wanted to get on the stack.
Carolyn, and then
I think
Mary, and then Richard. Melinda, did you want to speak again?
But that was just the point I was making.
Okay, go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, that does make a problem, the fact that it has gone so long and there haven't been any obvious things, but it's almost irrelevant because there's a principle involved here that we really should have addressed, and perhaps Ted could rephrase this as a request to the Governance Committee to look at this and to obtain a ruling of some sort or to issue some guidance, because if this is allowed to stand, I see a precedent set that could, in fact, be very dangerous. The fact that one person has acted with integrity despite the prohibition of the bylaws doesn't mean that there hasn't been a principal violation.
But she was certified as a candidate.
Point of order.
Melinda.
Ted, this is a vindictive act, and you know it.
Melinda, we understand. Let's just keep going. I don't say I understand, but I hear both of you. I hear both of the points here. So let's just continue with Mary.
Okay. Terry Bruce, I think the whole thing hinges on what powers the National Election Supervisor had. He made this ruling. There was no provision in the contract for review. This is one of the things we hope to be addressing, is how the job is laid out and that there is some accountability or some mechanism. But I don't think they were there at the time. So this person was authorized to make all determinations as to who is eligible or who is not eligible. And he made the determination that this person is eligible. I think 2 years after the fact, however it may have been wrong or right, and I think Terry's correct, there could be different interpretations of what it means. Public office is an advisory board on a outdoor arts thing. Is that a public office? I don't know. Richard's court would say one thing, but another judge would say another thing. That I don't think that's the issue. The issue is this ruling was made, and it was bona fidely made by a person who was authorized to make it, rightly or wrongly, and it is 2 years out of the three, so my own opinion would be we certainly are not the people to handle it. I think Ted might want to bring it to governance, but the issue is really, what do we do about a prior ruling by someone who was authorized? There was a loophole in what they were allowed to authorize. And this might arise with a general manager or anybody else. So I think it's totally a governance issue. And it wasn't challenged at the time, so that makes it a bit more of a sticky wicket. But in any case, I don't see how the election committee has anything to do with it. We had no control over the job description for the National Election Supervisor. And that's a fait accompli. That happened. He had those powers. And I don't see what we're doing with it. I don't think it's appropriate to this committee. I don't think we could do anything about it. I think Ted, if he wanted to do something, would have to go to governance.
This is Carolyn. Can I get on the stack again after everyone else has spoken?
Point of order.
Yes, is that Terry?
Yeah.
And fight again.
Yeah, the same thing. I believe Mary's comments could be interpreted as a challenge to the motion on the floor being in order and calling for a ruling of the chair.
Well, at this time, you know, I would like to hear the other discussions, because I think this is very important, and actually I like to speak on it myself. Or if Mary wanted to press for me to make a ruling right now, I would like to...
You made a ruling.
Or for further discussion.
Pardon? What did you say, Terry?
I said she made a ruling.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. That's fine.
Okay, so the next one is, were you through, Mary?
Yeah.
Richard, and then Carolyn.
Yeah, I just want to correct somebody mentioned earlier calling it political office. The bylaws language says public office, not political office. And I also want to give people a history of unpaid boards and those government positions. Often, you go back to Chicago, aldermen gave those out. They were plums. There can be connections. There can be political strings to all those things because you're making rulings on people's how money's being spent, how zoning's being done, how assets are being allocated. You're part of the government. And whether you're getting paid or not, you are acting as part of the government, and that is precisely what we wanted. Now, to go on with the argument that, well, we made a mistake and we just have to let it go, that's not the way the law works. If somebody made a mistake, as soon as it's noticed and dealt with, you have to correct it. And if the person is still in that office, it's been a continuing violation all along. The fact that somebody else made a ruling that was wrong, you know, and I'll just lay out the steps on this. If this goes to the PND and they turn it down, the next step would be a writ of mandate in the Alameda County Superior Court, which is the corporate headquarters, and the judge is going to rule that she's got to leave. And I don't know if this is...
Why can't she sue?
Pardon?
I don't see any reason why she shouldn't be able to sue, because when you get right down to it, when you consider the fact that she had every expectation, she went to the people whom we certified. She was certified as a candidate.
Okay.
Point of privilege.
Richard, are you through?
No,
point
of privilege. Thank you all. Great meeting. Terry has to leave the call.
Terry.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks for really good work.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Okay, bye.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's try to wrap this up.
Let me just finish my point. Pardon?
Are you through?
No, I was rudely interrupted by several people.
Well, I mean,
but that's okay.
I understand this is a very sensitive issue in Houston, and I understand, and that there's been this ongoing attempt to address it various ways. So if you can continue and remember, and I just want to tell you it's about 8:13,
yeah,
so let's try to wrap this up quickly.
The point I'm trying to make is that these decisions have to be made by the rules that we have and by the law that we have so that they don't become political issues. And the fact that this person got to have 2 years on the board that she wasn't supposed to ever have doesn't mean she suffered any damages at all. It means she's gotten something she shouldn't have had, so she has no basis to sue anybody.
I like being stuck.
So the problem is that we have a situation, in my mind, if she has an office that was appointed by government officials and she's doing work for the government on an appointed political public office, she doesn't belong on our boards according to our bylaws. Mistake was made. Any other kind of mistake is made, it should be corrected as soon as we discover it. And that's nothing against anybody personal. Maybe somebody's motivation is that, but that's not the way the decision needs to be made. The decision needs to be made by interpreting the law and the bylaws properly so that they are being exercised as the will of the people that passed it intended. And that will was to not have appointed or elected public office people involved in our governance. So
I'd like to be on the stack.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carolyn and then Melinda.
Well, I had already spoken once, and I would like to hear everyone else speak, including you, LeVon. You said you wanted to speak.
Yes, I do. Melinda, do you mind if I go first, or
go right ahead, please.
Okay. You know, I think that the whole that when the initial ruling was made, I think that hopefully the person considered really the type of position that it was that the person was appointed to. But, you know, I know, in fact, I guess I'll probably warn people that, you know, the whole thing with they're now appointing people to draft boards, that, you know, you cannot serve on the draft board and also be on the LSB, and that would be a way to really remove a lot of people. I hope none of you are on the draft boards, although you should get your progressive people on there, because then you can do what other folks do to make sure that certain people don't go. But anyway, so that is clearly in the bylaws. But, you know, I even think that in this case that whatever the ruling was made about this particular position that this person is serving on, that for some reason it was thought that it did not meet the rule that's in the bylaws about not being on this type of board, and that in this position that I would certainly, I mean, I think this should go to governance too, but I would certainly support that this person, I mean, you know, that this person would not be removed, but that in the future, that I'm sorry about precedent, that the person, when they made the initial ruling, that they looked at all of the aspects of this particular board, however it's been explained tonight, either by Melinda or by Ted, and that the decision they made hopefully was the correct decision, so this person would continue. But I think that in the future we need to go to governance and to make this more stringent, to identify any type of board, and if this meets this level at all, then there would be not be the person, certainly, or no one serving that type of board would be available in the future. But I tend to believe that the people looked at it very carefully and that looked at all aspects and thought that it did not meet that criteria.
I would like to be on the stack.
Who's that?
Ted.
Okay. Go ahead. I mean, I'm sorry, Melinda, Carolyn and then Melinda.
Well, I think Ted, has Ted spoken to this already?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Well, my feeling then is that we do need to think of precedent, so I do think it is appropriate to the Elections Committee, but I would like to see us address this in our handbook for future use, and any challenge to the current status perhaps should go to governance. I don't think that would be in our purview, to be honest, so... perhaps it should go to governance and it should be resolved. I agree with you that it probably would be very dangerous to start attacking the power and the judgment of the National Election Supervisor on this issue. And if it was a mistake, then we might apply the lesson to the future. But I'm not so sure that... I know it has to be addressed. The question is... whether or not we should be involved in that, and I would suggest that we should not be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ted? I'm sorry, Melinda?
Yes. I can appreciate that, but I think Carolyn brought up part of the point that my point is, and that is, you know, it's like, you know, I could understand if an individual had, you know, not said anything to anybody. And if this individual had been clandestine and, you know, they were basically holding their cards close to their chest. But this individual, personally, I don't recall it ever having been used as a point to run for office, to be honest with you. In fact, until I actually got in committees with this individual where she freely spoke about her work in that. I didn't even know about this, to be honest with you, because it was really not a matter that was really that big a deal. But the thing is that when a person goes through the correct steps and they go to the correct authorities, we put in supervisors for a reason. We pay them a salary for a reason, and that is, I mean, I've disagreed with various decisions made by election supervisor when I was chair. But the thing is that they are given the authorization to do certain things. I mean, we hire them to be an impartial third party. Now, granted, there could be something said, and in fact, I did myself point out the fact that, especially given the fact that we know more about the people running, that we should be involved more so when there are infractions of the election rules. But there again, that's just a matter of they basically took over that. But I really just think, you know, you don't hire somebody and then go back 2 years later and say, oh, wait a second, I don't like the way they did that. I could understand maybe if in the future you did something, but I think it would be definitely something that would leave us open to liable, and rightfully so, if we were to suddenly kick a three-year person out in their second year who had this position when they came on board and who was very honest about it.
I would like to be on the stack, Richard.
Okay, I think Ted is next, and then Richard.
Okay, I hope I can make 3 points. The first one is, we have no record of anything. We have no record of what the local election official said to Terry Bereshus, what information Terry Bereshus was given, what Terry Bereshus ruled on. There needs to at least be, I think, by the national board, an opportunity to hear from Terry Bereshus on what he heard from the local election judge and what his ruling was, and why it occurred. That's point number one. Point number two is it's been suggested that this issue has been raised before. This is the first substantive time this matter has been raised. I am raising it for the first time.
Wrong.
And there are no minutes of any meeting ever taking place where this issue was raised and voted upon by anybody before. That's point number two. And point number three is we are a committee that reports to the National Board. If the National Board wants to refer this matter to some other committee, they should be allowed to do so. But I want this conversation tonight and this matter to be considered by the National Board.
All right, thank you. You know, this is Lauren. I think we're kind of repeating things, but
yeah.
but let's go. Let's move ahead. And Richard, you're next.
All right, I'm trying not to repeat. First of all, the colleague who used the word libel, there's no issue of libel involved here. So let's not throw loose legal terms around, please. Libel is when you slander somebody or say something negative against them. Nobody's saying anything negative. If she has that position, she has it, and she does. So that's all we're saying is interpreted. What Terry Bereshus heard or didn't hear is irrelevant. What matters, and the only thing that matters, is if she is in that position illegally. If she is in violation of the bylaws, as soon as the organization becomes aware of it, it has to enforce its bylaws. LaVarne, the fact that you want to be nice and let her stay, you can't do that. That's not the way the law works. I can give you 100 examples, but the point is, when you find out somebody's in a position illegally, it's not a matter of them being bad. It's just a matter that the bylaws are being violated, and the violation has to be stopped upon the fact that you notice it. And that's the way societies are run in a lawful manner. Because otherwise you could have a million exceptions next time. Well, yeah, that guy shouldn't have been in there either, but, well, he's been in there for 3 weeks, so we'll just let him stay. I mean, what if you find out that a policeman, you know, they let some policeman, and he turned out he was a convicted felon? Because some of them, we don't know if there was collusion in that decision. I mean, I'm not saying there was, but we don't know. And you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with second-guessing an election supervisor. The last one we had was so horrible, almost everything he did should have been second-guessed along the way. I'm talking about Kenny Mostert. And so, you know, these people aren't lawyers. They don't know how to interpret law. And the memo that was emailed to me makes no comment or interpretation about the language that I pointed out at any level of government. They totally ignore that, and that little thing is discussed there. It doesn't say, and we looked at that, and even with that language, we think that da-da-da. You know, I think somebody made a quick shoot-from-the-hip opinion and said, oh, let's go on. And I just, that's not the way you run things. And I believe from the language of this thing that whoever it is, is still operating. And if she wants to quit the board, I would say this. If she wants to quit that position and stay on the board now, I would say that'd be fine because I wouldn't hold it against her that she was on it before. But she cannot stay in the government office that she has and stay on the board. So I would argue that, yes, she's already done the 2 years. If she drops off of that government board, then she's not in violation anymore, and that old time shouldn't be held against her. But you can't have it both ways. She cannot stay on the board and stay on the government position. And that's the way it is.
I would like to be on the stack.
Okay, we have Mary, and then we're going to wrap this up, and we can make a decision in terms of, because, and then I can move and rule as chair in terms of where we should go with this. Mary, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry that Terry Goodman left because he did make the point that these things are open to interpretation. And lawyers are subject to different interpretations. Judges do not have the same interpretation. The fact that Richard interprets it one way, Richard is not the person to have made the decision, nor am I, nor was anyone else. The man who was empowered to make it
made it on the basis of the evidence he had. Now, if you want to go and investigate and see if there's collusion, that's a whole other subject. That also is not in our province. One way or the other, this is really not any our province to do. We are not to, that man, Terry Bereshit, had the authority to do this. We didn't have a lawyer hired to do it. We hired this person to do it. Now, whether that's right or wrong is not the issue. If somebody else would have made a different ruling, such as Richard, if he'd had that job, that is not the issue. This person did make that ruling. And as far as I know, he was a bona fide person. He was light years different from Terry Mostard. I don't see what we're doing with this. I think Ted, maybe if he wanted to pursue it some way, it doesn't seem the province of this committee, except that we want to make sure that future election supervisors don't have this kind of blanket power where they can make a ruling and no one is authorized to overrule it by the system of policies that we have. So I think what we need to do is fix up our handbook to take this into account. And what Terry needs, I mean, what if Ted wants to pursue it, I guess governance might be the, I guess that would be the place to look at it, and they can decide if they want to retroactively overrule Terry Bereshit or not. But it's not for us to do, so I'd like to move on.